Well, I hope that answer is not very long. Amen. Like this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in church?
Yes.
Isn't it just good to go through all the process, even if you're late, to make it to church? Or even if you're early? I was early. He had me in a motel on the other side of town over in another country. And so I left early, realizing the traffic that can be in this town, and got over here early, and I sat up here in the corner and watched all you people drive into church. I love seeing people drive into church. I like seeing when they're happy. I like seeing the ones that are fighting just before they make it to the parking lot to stop the argument in time to make it into church. I like seeing the ladies putting on the last second makeup from the mirror. That's, how do you put on makeup? Well, anyway, I have a hard time figuring that one out, how you actually are coordinated enough to do that. And the guys that allow their wives to put makeup on in the vehicle, holding the steering wheel steady, you need to thank us, because we could make your life real miserable. Well, anyway. Anyways. Well, I have something this morning that the Lord has given, and half this message was written by Abby, and so you'll have to forgive me for some of the poor illustrations, but they all came from her, and I think that you'll understand that as we move along. Amen? I want to share just a little bit of my testimony in regards to the Bible, in regards to the Word of God, and then maybe a couple of you have an unusual situation or story or memory in regards to how you received the Bible that's in your lap. If you do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to share a couple of those this morning. It'll go right along with what the Lord has for us in His Word. We're going to go to Psalm 119. And while you're turning there, I'm pretty sure that I've shared much of my testimony here before, but I wasn't saved until I was 15. Prior to 15, there was nothing spiritual in my life, nothing spiritual in my family. None of us knew anything about God. None of us knew anything about church, anything about the Bible, anything about gospel tracts, anything about VBS, anything about Sunday school. I was just completely shielded from that whole life. No idea what it would be like growing up in a youth group in a church. And then my mother was invited by her sister-in-law to go to a citywide campaign, and she received Jesus Christ as her Savior that night. And as far as we know, as far as I know, from all the studying that I can do, my mom was the first one to break that generational chain of non-believers. And I'm so grateful for that. The very next night, I went with my mom, and I received Christ as my Savior that night. And my life began. My testimony began on that at that moment. Everything in my life changed. Old things, literally, old things were passed away, and all things were become new. Literally a life of nothing to do with God, nothing to do with testimony for who He was, or living a life acceptable and pleasing to Him. Nothing of any of that prior to that moment that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Some people, when they get saved, it takes them a while to kind of settle in to the new life in Christ. Some folks, it takes a while for old things to pass away. Strong holds on their life that's hard to get rid of, that's hard to give up. Changing life habits, changing viewing habits, changing places that you go, habits, and the things that you eat, and the places that you go for refreshment, and all that stuff. Some folks, it takes a while for that to change. But that's not the case with me. When I got saved, it's like it all changed so quickly. I went from that life of nothing to do with God to I wanted everything that I could possibly get as quickly as I could possibly get it. And one of the things that was all around this. I'm more convinced than I ever have been before that so much of our conversation needs to start and needs to end with this.
Amen.
It's all about this. It's all about the precious Word of God and all that He's given to us and how much that we love it and how much that we hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against Him, and on it goes. And the older that I get, the more convinced I am as I go out on the streets and knock on doors and try to share the gospel with as many people as I possibly can. I find myself now more than ever going to this first to get some type of a knowledge of what that person's opinion is of this book. And if that person's opinion of this book is, well, it's another book, I don't know that I even agree with it, I certainly don't know that I believe it, on and on that might go, well, that changes the conversation in a whole different direction. I think it's very difficult just to go right into the Romans Road, very difficult to go right into the gospel if the people don't even believe the book, because all that's in the book, right? And so if you try to tell them something that's in the book and they don't even agree with the book, first we need to change that direction and help them to understand what this is. What is the Bible? Why am I governing my entire life? All the decisions that I make and everything that I do, why am I governing it all on this book? Why do you? So much of what we do is according to what we've learned in this book, and sometimes we don't even appreciate it. Sometimes we don't even recognize it. How many of you have loved ones who have died and gone on to heaven? As respectfully as I possibly can say, how do you know that? The only reason you know that is because the Bible says, in the Bible, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can raise our hand in true confidence if that person knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they are in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
We know it because we've got it right here. And as you know, with First Bible International, the ministry that I represent, we're trying to get it to billions of people who don't have it yet. Still billions that do not have it in their heart language. But we're making good progress. Praise the Lord, we're moving forward, and new projects are being taken on every year. To the best of my knowledge, we've seen, I think, 19 projects completed with First Bible, and we've got 6 in process right now. And the only thing stopping us from having 66 in process is money. You say, oh, I knew you'd get that to money, I know. But it costs money, amen, to be able to get it all done. But praise the Lord for God's people that's getting behind us and helping us to be able to get all that done. And so shortly after I was saved, I immediately found out that I needed a Bible. I mean, I didn't even have one of the little Gideon New Testaments. I didn't even have one of the ones that kids used to get in kindergarten in school, the way that it used to be. I didn't even have that little Bible. I really didn't even know what a Bible was. At 15, I didn't even know John 3:16. I didn't even know it even existed. And so right after I got saved, a really good friend of mine who was already saved said, well, Brent, you need to go get a Bible. Let's go get a Bible. And so we went to the bookstore, and I went up to the person at the bookstore and said, I need a Bible. And they said, great. How long have you been saved? And I said, just got saved. They said, okay, come on over with me. This is the one you need. And she handed me a Living Bible. And that's the Bible that I bought. I didn't know any difference. I didn't even have a clue that that wasn't even a Bible, that that's a paraphrase. Not even a clue. I read that for a few days, literally. Went to church and was carrying it to church. And my preacher came up to me. And he said, what is that? I said, why are you asking me that question? It's my Bible. I went to the bookstore, and this is the Bible the lady gave me. He said, figures. That's you know, if you leave it up to them, that's what's going to happen. He said, Brent, I'm glad you have a book, but you don't have the Bible. He said, you need a Bible. And so he went into his office, and he came out, and he gave me something to use until I bought my first Bible. I asked around to some guys and said, I'm going to buy a Bible. What do I need? I want to get a good one. And everyone said, you need to buy a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And so I went to the bookstore and said, the one you gave me is wrong. And I want a Thompson Chain. And she said, do you have money? I said, I do. And she said, I mean, do you have money? Because they're pretty expensive. I said, I do. And so I bought the Thompson Chain. And that Bible went all the way through Bible college with me, went through the first 10 years of ministry with me, and it's all marked up and notes all in it. And pages were falling out. It got to the point where I just had to change because I'd be preaching and literally pages would fall out while I was preaching. I didn't think that was very effective. Well, it probably was effective, but maybe not effective in the right way. And so went and got another one. And of course, now numbers of Bibles that the Lord has blessed with. And I just share that testimony because it's only by God's mercy that I didn't go completely the wrong direction, because that book that I had first was just going to take me in a wrong direction. If I needed to go find a church that the preacher was preaching out of that book, that church was not going to be like this church. That church was not going to have the standards that this church has. And on it goes. That church wasn't going to have the music that this church has. Nice job. You're right, I haven't heard that in a long time, and I didn't even know you could sing. What can't you do? You're just this multi-talented guy, and I sat right there and listened to those two behind me sing. That's the place. If you folks want to get a blessing, sit right there on Sunday morning. That'll bless your heart listening to them sing. Only problem is you don't sing. You just listen to them, amen? But what a blessing that is. And so how about you? Anybody have one of those stories? It didn't have to be long like that, please. Just a couple of details about the Bible you have in your hand. It's special to you because blank. Anybody? Oh, I almost called on you. You know, you put your hand right up next to that pillow right there. I thought this is going to be good, but you were stretching, right? Okay, good. A hand. Yes, sir. Got you.
I have my Bible I've been using for some time that I got shortly. I had my King James Bible I had before, and it was a smaller one that I used. And when I got saved and got my heart right and started living for the Lord truly, I bought this Bible. I have another one that I have on my dresser. I bought a new one. But this Bible here, I have a hard time letting go. And I myself have glued the back. I've glued inside because my pages are falling out. And it's falling apart and I don't want it to. So when I hold it, I keep it in my case. But it means something to me, and I almost feel like I'm betraying it. If I put it back and I put it somewhere else, I have to have this one, this Bible, because I've changed a lot through this Bible. So this one here that I hold in my hands, it's a part of me. And I don't want to let it go.
Amen. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand. Amen. True from beginning to end. Someone's hand was up right. Yes. He's coming. There you go.
It's not this Bible that I have in my hand, but it's the Bible that I have at home that I got just after I was saved. My dad presented it to me. And the scriptures really became alive to me coming from a broken home, and many times just dropping my school books in the house and just finding a quiet place. And
yes.
Yeah, I could spend hours and hours just reading the scriptures from the ages of 10 to 15 years of age. And the Bible was just so precious to me, and God ministered to me so many times just reading it. And my dad's in heaven now, but I still kept the Bible that he presented to me.
That's precious. Precious. One more. All the way in the back. Well, there's two. Well, that both of them. I certainly can't say no to her, so. Both of them all the way back.
I bought this Bible in 1976 for my husband, and I'm breaking it in for him until he becomes a Christian.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Excuse me. My first Bible was one of the little Gideon's Bible. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Was one of those smaller ones, and I've had that my whole life, and it's changed my life actually. And About 15, maybe 20 years ago, a friend of mine bought me a King James Version that I never opened, unfortunately. But I keep going back to that little one that I have. And it guides me and it helps me, just like every other, well, not every other Bible does, right? But I do have a King James Version Bible.
Amen.
I read that one as well as the little one that they handed out in schools.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Having a Bible to go to that guides and helps, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Good. Well, we could go on and take a lot of time, but it's all so good. We're just so busy, aren't we? Everything is so fast in our lives. And I know that the majority of the people in here love the Word of God, and it is a Psalm 119:97 relationship with you. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I know many of you that is the case. But if it's not, I hope by the end of this afternoon, for those of you that are able to stay, because I'll conclude this afternoon, we'll have a better appreciation of the Word of God. Maybe we'll love it a little bit more than we did when we came in. Maybe we'll desire to be in it a little bit longer than what we have been. Maybe we'll ask the Lord to help us to learn it a little bit more effectively and to hide it in our hearts a little bit more, that we might be able to be honoring to Him. We have a 6-year-old now, granddaughter. I know, 6 is shocking. But she is Sawyer Rose. And as soon as we found out that Sawyer was going to be born, the very first thing we bought her was a Bible. And we put that Bible away. It's in its white case. It's a very nice King James study Bible. And was just waiting for the right opportunity to give it to her, to where she wouldn't just take it as a present, but would take it as the Word of God, to where she would start to be able to understand what that is. And so it was just a few months ago. She was at our house, and the time was just obviously right, and I went and got that white box that Bible is in, and we set her down, the best you can set a 6-year-old down, and we explained to her what it was, and we explained to her why we got it and when we got it and what we hope that it will mean to her. And she took that box, and she opened that, and just kind of looked in the box, just looked at it. And I wish that we could all have a respect. I wish we would all have a respect for the Bible like a child the first time that they see it. I wish we would all have a respect for the Bible like a person over in India when they receive it for the first time and it's still wrapped up in cellophane and they embrace it as if it's one of their own children. I wish we'd have that kind of respect for this book. She took it out and she just very carefully opened it and she just very carefully kind of went through a couple of pages and she closed it. And she said something like, I don't want to tear it. I don't want to damage it. And we said to her, we said, Sawyer, we want you to have this and we want you to be able to open it and we want to read it to you when you're ready for all of that. She's 6. I know a lot of people are saved by that point, but she's not. She doesn't understand it yet. She's getting close, but she's not there yet. And this last week, 2 weeks ago when I was at camp, yes, Shelley called me and she said, Sawyer went into the bedroom and the Bible is in the case on our nightstand. And she went in and got it. And she's got a little room in our house that's her toy room. It's just was a closet, but we made it into a toy room for her when we remodeled the house. And she's picked it up and she brought it out to Shelley and she said, this needs to be in my room. And she took it over and put it on a shelf. And it's been sitting on our on our nightstand on a little bit of an angle, not on purpose, that's just the way it was, and she put it on that shelf straight, and then she went back to it, and she put it on that little bit of an angle, thought that that's the way it was supposed to be. Dr. Charles Keene, the founder of First Bible International, if you haven't heard it, I'd recommend that you go on our website and see the video about it. In fact, we might show that this afternoon briefly if we can pull that up. I'll see if we can. Where Dr. Keene talks about his first Bible, how that he went and purchased his first Bible, and when he went to purchase it, the lady asked him what kind he wanted. He said, I don't know. He said, the person that gave me my first Bible at church had a zipper on it. He said, do you have any zipper Bibles? He still has that Bible. That's why he calls First Bible International. He still has that first Bible that he got, and that motivated him to get first Bibles into the hands of people who's never had them before. You say, why is all this so important? Your hand's in Psalm 119. Go over just a couple of verses also to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Let me give you just a few verses as to the why of this. Isaiah 40 and verse number 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. The testimony of your dad giving you your Bible. This Bible stood for him, and this Bible stood for his dad, and this Bible stood for his dad, and this Bible has always stood for the generations before us, and it will always stand for the generations ahead of us. It's the preserved, inspired Word of God. Because it's preserved, it will never go away. Amen? And we rejoice in the confidence that God gives us for that. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Just a couple of verses to set the tone on the why it's so important. In Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I'm sure Pastor McLean has probably preached a whole message on that jot and tittle, on what that means and the importance of that, and how that when the writers would write it, that jot and tittle is that smallest little movement of the pen for the readability of it. And if that was wrong at all, one little wrong movement of the pen, it wasn't that they could erase it. It wasn't that they could just take it off the page. They had to discard the whole thing and start all over again, because it's the Word of God, because it's that important. Is it that important to you? Is it that important to us? Do we preserve it in our hands like it's that important? Do we place it in the place that it will go to when it goes home? Is it that important? Or will it stay in the car until next Sunday? Or will it stay in the back window until next Sunday? Or will it get its place around all the dust in the bottom of the nightstand until next Sunday? How important is it to you? Is it important to you enough that it's not just a Sunday book, but it's an everyday book for you? Not one jot or one tittle in no wise shall pass. And then 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter number 1. Verse number 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it all starts at the gospel. Everything about the book in the beginning starts with the gospel. It's all about the gospel. Once the gospel is received by us, then the Holy Spirit of God takes residency within our lives. And the main job of the Holy Spirit of God at that point is to illuminate this book to us. Help us to be able to see what it says. Help us to be able to understand what it says. Help us to be able to apply what it says. And help us to be able to share with others what it says. The Holy Spirit's job is so important in regards to the Word of God. And then there are several verses in Psalm 119. I don't know if you've ever read all of Psalm 119. It's obviously the longest chapter in the book. You can flip back just one page probably in your Bible, at least it's one page in mine, to Psalm 117. Look at Psalm 117. For those of you who want to be able to say that you read a whole chapter of the Bible today, read Psalm 117. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Shortest, but wow, is it powerful. Could certainly stay right there in that verse for the remainder of the message, especially the part, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Truth is such a powerful word. We're going to get to that in just a few moments because I don't want to get ahead of Abby's outline here. And so, verse number one, I'm just going to highlight a few of the verses in Psalm 119. Again, the whole chapter is dealing specifically with the Word of God, and there's literally hundreds of verses that you can go to in regards to the Word of God, but I'm just going to pick out 17 of them. I say 17 because verse number 17 says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Oh, God, help me to keep thy word. Not to let it flounder. Not to get to a point in my life where I just don't know about it anymore. There is no I don't know about it anymore. Amen? It is the Word of God, and my desire is to keep it forever. So 17 verses that I'd like to highlight, not all this morning. We'll just get a few of them this morning, then we'll finish it this afternoon. Hopefully you'll be able to be here for that and for the conclusion of that. But we'll start in verse number 11, where the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Some of the things that have changed over the years, since I grew up in church from 15 on, since I watched some specific things in church, there's some things that we used to do on a regular basis that a lot of churches don't do anymore. I don't think that's the case here. I think you might even actually do both of these. I remember the old sword drills. Remember the sword drills? We still do the sword drills at camp. You probably do them here at church sometimes? Not as much as you should. Sword drills are such a powerful thing, you know, where you hold it up by the back of the cover and the preacher says the verse and says go, and you find it as quick as you can and stand and start reading it, and hopefully it's always a man that stands before a lady and starts to read it, but unfortunately that's usually not the case. Usually it's the ladies that did it, but I think the guys won at camp 2 weeks ago, and so that's a good thing. But the sword drills just kept people interested in it. And then scripture memory in the church. Having a program that teaches you to memorize the Word of God is such a powerful thing. And I know that you do that, and you do it so well. And apart from doing it in church, we need to not stop memorizing the Word of God. I will hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It worked for the devil. He did all he could. He thought it would work for him. He did all he could to try to get Jesus to falter and to fail, but it came back against him with what? The Word of God. As Jesus said, as it is written, and as soon as we say as it is written, the devil's defeated. He can't go any further. He's done. He might as well tuck tail and go the other way. He's finished when the Word of God is presented to him. Praise the Lord for the power of the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I would encourage you, come up with something that you can continue to memorize the scripture. Let's don't let that go aside. You know, it's possible. It's very, very possible that there might come a day in our lifetime where it will be illegal for us to have this book. It is that way in many places. You do understand that, right? You do understand in many places they do worship in an underground church. very difficult times where they're not carrying their Bible to church. It's illegal for them to have the Bible at church. And some of those people actually write out the Word of God on a bed sheet. And then when they get down into the hidden place where they're worshiping, they put that bed sheet over the windows to protect them against what's going on out there. And they read the Bible off of the bed sheet. They love it that much. How much do we love it? Do we love it enough to memorize it? It amazes me how that if you go to a restaurant and you just sit and watch people, especially with all the garbage music that you have to listen to when you're there. Now, I don't know about you. I don't understand any of the words. I just can't. It's like I try to understand them to know what it is, and I can't. And I watch these little kids, you know, 12, 13, 14, and they're just singing. They're not singing out, but they're mouthing every word that there is. And I go, how do they even understand that? More than that, how do they know all the words? And immediately I think, wow, if somebody could channel that energy into memorizing the Bible, how amazing would that be? If you have one of those children, it's nothing for them to memorize a song. It would be nothing for them to memorize the Word of God. There's no doubt in my mind that as a 15-year-old, which is way past the ability of Abby's age, when they're that age, they can memorize it so much quicker than we. The older you get, the more difficult it becomes. I promise you that is a fact. And I can still, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this at the trying of your faith, and on it goes. Scriptures that I memorized shortly after I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm so thankful for them. Memorize the Word of God. Come up with something. Two things that work really well. Number one, repetition is the mother of all learning. Just put it on a refrigerator or put it somewhere where you just see it. Put it on a card when you're driving that you can just see it there on your dashboard or something. It's not that you're memorizing it on purpose. You're memorizing it subliminally. And all of a sudden, after you say it enough times, you go, oh, wow. I know that verse and I didn't even realize it. Just read it. Just keep reading it, amen, and you'll be able to memorize it. And then the second best way is to put it to song. One of the easiest ways to memorize the Bible are Bible songs. And your pastor can help you with some of those. It helps you so much to memorize it. But thy word have I hid in mine heart. What word do you have in your heart right now that will help you to defeat the sin of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? What verse do you have? Because it's going to come against you. What verse do you have hid in your heart right now that's going to help you to not get involved in that gossip that's going to be presented to you this week? Because it's going to happen. What word do you have memorized in your heart right now that's going to help you not to think of those things that our eyes have no choice but to see on all the billboards and on all the streets and everything that's around us? What word do you have? What word of God do you have that'll help you to have victory over that? On and on we can go. Hide God's word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. You want to have victory over sin? Memorize the word of God more. Amen? Memorize the word of God more. Number two, verse number 18. Is that the right one, Abby? Verse number 18. Okay. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. It would be good for you every time that you crack this book open. Before you read one verse, just pause and ask that. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. Not just see it, not just read it, not just understand it, but all those things. Behold it. See it. Read it. Understand it. Apply it to my life. Behold wondrous things. The Holy Spirit desires to enlighten us in the Word of God as we read the Word of God. And so it's good for us to pray, open thou mine eyes. Open my eyes away from what's going on over there. Open my eyes away from what's going on over there. maybe even get away from what's going on over there, maybe even get away from what's going on over there, and get in that quiet place that she was talking about, that place where you're away from all the distractions. And then ask the Lord to open your eyes, which opens in contrast to the mental side. Do you know what I'm saying right there? How many times have you read numbers of verses in the Word of God and you got through, 10, 15 of them, and you stopped and you went, don't know a thing. Not one word. I couldn't tell you one thing that I just read, and I just read 15 verses. You were reading it, but you weren't beholding it. We ask the Lord to open our eyes that we might behold what? Wondrous things. This book is full of wondrous things. I mean things that make you go, that's incredible. I mean, if the Bible says an axe head did swim, I'm going, I want to know more about that. That didn't make any sense to me. And some folks would say it's because it doesn't make sense and it never happened. Yes, it did. How do you know? Because it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's true.
That's right.
And if it doesn't make sense, it's God. Amen? I love those things that God does that doesn't make any sense to us. But oh, how it makes all sense to Him. It's just like this right here. Really, this right here. Everything about the workings of this establishment, this church, doesn't make any sense to those out there. You financial people that's in this congregation, maybe you work out there in the workforce, in the financial realm, your finances out there make sense. I mean, you put them on a ledger, you got the subtractions and the pluses, and you get down to the sum, and everything totals out right, and it all makes sense, and you got this much, and you pay this much, not like our country does, or not like your country does, but like we're supposed to do, right? Not pay more than what we have here. But anyway, the church doesn't operate that way. Finances in the church, they don't make sense. They just don't, because it's God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To even think about how some churches are doing some of the things that they're doing in the economy that we're living in today just doesn't make any sense. But God.
Amen.
But God. I preached a missions conference over in Alberta just recently, not too long ago, from a fairly new congregation, just 5 years old, new congregation in Alberta. And their faith promise offering was over $70,000 in a five-year-old church. That doesn't make any sense. None. But it does to God. Amen? Because He can do it. And I could give you illustration after illustration to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Thy law, it's the schoolmaster that leads us to God. Everything about this book is designed to lead us to God. Amen. When we're reading it, it would be good for us not to get up from where we're sitting, or not to get up from where we're kneeling, or not to get up from where we're laying down until we see God in what we're reading. Lord, help me to see You. Help me to see the wondrous things in Your book. Verse number 34. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. How many times have you been in conversation with somebody, and you talked to them for quite some time, and you ended up saying to them, I don't understand a word you're saying. I just don't understand. It's not that you're not trying, and I'm sure you're making sense, but you need to explain it to me in a different direction. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. How many times have we said that to our wives? Honey, I love you, and I know what you're saying is probably right, but go another direction. I don't understand a word that you're saying. Sometimes we just listen, but we don't understand. Many times we just read, but we don't understand. How many times has Pastor McLean stood up here behind this sacred desk and turn to a text in the Word of God that you know very well? You've read it many, many times. And when he got done, you thought, I thought I knew that verse. I thought I understood that verse. I never saw that in that verse before. That's a power of the Word of God. You can read John 3:16 for the rest of your life. And when life almost comes to an end, still, you'll find something in John 3:16 that was like, how did I miss that? It's so obvious. That is why we want to ask the Lord to give us understanding. Not only would it be good for us every time we kneel with this book to say, Lord, help me to see you. Open my eyes and I may behold wondrous things. But it would also be good to say, help me to understand what it is I'm reading today. Have you ever got into Chronicles? You get into the Chronicles as you're reading through the Bible in a year, and you start those genealogies, and it's like, huh, I'm just kind of wading through them. I know it's the Bible, and I'm trying to be respectful, and then all of a sudden, in the Chronicles, one of those verses will jump out that's like, wow, tucked right in the middle of the genealogies, like a little piece of gold. Amen? Lord, give me understanding. And I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. You've probably said to a person that you love very much at some point, you probably have said something like that to them. Honey, I love you with all my heart. I love you with my whole heart. Not keeping anything back for someone else. Not preserving something deep down in a crevice for something else. But honey, I love you with my whole heart. It's all yours. Can you say that about this book? I love it with my whole heart. I don't put this book next to some other books and read the some other books and this book and kind of make a determination of which one I agree the most. There is no doing that with this book. Amen? Amen. There's no other place in regards to this book. This is the whole counsel of God. Is it everything that God knows? The Bible says the worlds couldn't contain the books thereof if he gave us everything that he knows. But what is it? Everything he wants us to know everything we need to know about who he is. It's all in here. Isn't that powerful? It's all in the Word of God. And so a great verse is, give me understanding that I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. One more, 58. 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I entreated. That I entreated is the idea of I ask questions. I ask questions. And so as I'm reading through the Word of God and something really gets my attention, instead of just kind of going on past it, stop. Start asking questions. Lord, what is that? Lord, what am I missing right there? What is that right there? Help me to understand what that is right there. Help me to see the favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me. Oh, how we need the mercy of God. Not giving us what we deserve. If every one of us in this room right now got what we deserved this week, where would we be? You think you'd be here? If we got what we deserve, some of us wouldn't even be able to be here. If we got what we deserved, the mercy of the Lord. But you know what a powerful thing about mercy is that I never hear talked about? It's not just that mercy is wonderful, not giving us what we deserve, grace giving us what we do deserve, but not giving us what we deserve, the mercy of Almighty God. According to thy word. Everything that God does, it's according to his word. It's not that all of a sudden, well, he did that, so I kind of have to break ship here and this is what has to happen to you. No, no, no. It's all according to the Word. It's all according to the Word of God. And it's going to come to an end as we stand before Him face to face. And we will. And you will. Everyone in this room will stand before a holy God face to face. Everybody in here. And that moment is all going to be according to this book. And we will be without excuse. Ignorance of the law is no exception to the law, especially when it comes to this law. It's all according to thy word. And you know what one of the most powerful things is in the Word of God, according to the Word? For God so loved the world. It's not God loved the world. It's God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that, what's the next word? How do you get out of that? If you are one here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because you think it's not for you, or you think you've gone too far the wrong way that you can't get back, or you think you've done things that can't be forgiven, how do you explain getting out of whosoever? There is no explanation for that. You are included. The gospel, according to this book, includes you. Includes me, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you know that? How many of you know that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? According to this book, you know that you're on your way to heaven. How many? How many? Amen. If you can't raise your hand right now, you could raise your hand in just about a minute. You could receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and you too could know, according to thy word, heaven is your home. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, a holy God. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you that everything that is done according to your word. Thank you most of all for saving us. And then all that you have done for us since that day. And all that you're doing for us since that day. And all that's going to take place in our life since that day. And what eternity future is going to be for us according to thy word. What an exciting adventure that we have in you, and we give you all the praise and glory for it. If there is one here, none of this makes a lot of sense to you because you haven't yet received Christ as your Savior. The Bible doesn't make sense to somebody that's not saved. The only part that makes sense is the gospel. The only part that'll make sense to you is God by His Holy Spirit drawing you to understand that you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. And at that moment, once you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you a sinner, come into your life and save you, at that moment, the Holy Spirit takes up residency and everything changes in your life. The things you used to do, you won't want to do them anymore. I have on my prayer list, when I'm thanking God for my salvation and thanking God for my family and thanking God for my son and thanking God for all the things that I thank God for. In that list, I thank God that He changed my want to. He changed my want to. I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to do things according to His word. Does that mean that I don't fail? Oh, I fail so many times. But I know it, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to me. And I'm able to ask Him to forgive me of it, and He does forgive me, according to 1 John 1:9, and I can move on in fellowship with Him. Couldn't do that before, but I can now. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior today, you'd like to settle this thing, you'd like the Bible to become that important to you, you'd like your life to become part of what God has for you, you'd like to be saved. If that's true, would you just lift your hand about it anywhere in the room? Just lift it up and down. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. But we need to know if you'd like to receive Christ. We'll have somebody open the Bible and show you what it's all about. Anybody at all? Hopefully that means everybody in this room is saved. And I hope that's the case. But if you're not, before it's eternally too late, please receive Christ as your Savior. Let's stand together, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you'd like to maybe take a moment at this altar and just thank God for His Word, ask Him to help you to make His Word more a part of your life. Ask Him to give you more of a respect for His Word. Take a moment, come to this altar. Just give it to Him. Maybe just bring your Bible with you and lay that Bible in front of you on the altar and thank God for it. What a precious promise He's given to us. There's still room here. The altar's a wonderful place. Maybe you just want to come and worship Him. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for saving you. But most of all, thank Him for His Word. If you're not here at the altar, let me encourage you right there where you stand. Right now, thank Him for His Word and what it means to you. Ask Him to help you to develop a deeper relationship with His Word.